Yesterday a cloud was passing. Now I find love here at my door. Every moment, every heartbeat, and everything I do, under grace, oh, your sweet grace, yeah, all I see is you.
Thank you, Lynn. That was perfect. Yeah, that came through loud and clear. I told you the wrong answer to who that was, Cheryl. It says it's Love is My Home by Chevalier.
Love is My Home by Chevalier.
Yeah, lovely song. So we'll take a moment here for prayer. And again, I just want to give thanks for the opportunity to teach what I would learn and to invite inner wisdom to hear through me, to speak through me, to be through me. Yeah, and just, again, express my gratitude. Amen. Again, what fun it is to see all your faces. I just love it. Hey, Hal. Hey, Carrie. Oh, it's great.
Is Carrie in the room?
Uh-huh.
Oh, hi, Carrie.
So, at this point, we will have an inspirational reading by Lynn Johnson. And Lynn is reading to us from the teachings of Inner Ramana, Extinguishment of the I Thought. So, Lynn, I will turn the mic back over to you. Hey, Lynn, I think your mic is still muted.
Although can you hear me now?
Yes, okay. Yes, we can hear you now.
Okay, good. I had to switch microphones. So, it says Zoom can't detect the sound from my microphone. So I don't know if that's true or not.
We can hear you.
Okay. All right. Well, then it's lying to me. Okay. So Extinguishment of the I Thought. My eyes are all full of tears from that song. That song just, oh my God. Talk about, yeah, you're right. Music flowers the heart. And that's something Sri Bhagavan and Amma say all the time. So music is the flowering of the heart, which is what it says in that awakening song as well. So the extinguishment of the I Thought. When I say I am you, I speak the truth, and yet I am not you as you know you in your thinking. This you, quote unquote, which you call me, is the idea that you must be extinguished if you are to know me as you. When I say the idea of you must be extinguished if you are to know me, many ideas run through your head, none of which are true. Let's take a look at these ideas now. When I say that you must be extinguished in order to know me, you think this will take a long time to do. This is not true. This is not true because the you that is being extinguished is only an idea, and the I that I am is living truth. In any moment, and thus in every moment, an idea can be extinguished so that living truth can be known. It is true that if you are not finished with an idea, the idea that you desire can be reborn again in any moment, but it can also be extinguished once again in any moment that you choose to put the false I aside and know living truth. So, as you see, it does not take time to extinguish a false identity. It only takes the desire to know living truth now. Another idea that crosses your mind when I say you must extinguish you to know me is that this will be difficult. This is not true. If you look at this idea, this will be difficult, you will see it is only an idea. If you hold up the idea and shout that it is true, you are attached to the idea because you are holding to it. But if you let go of the idea, it will go away. The idea has no life, and so it can have no attachments. This idea is not attached to you. You are attached to it. If you let it go, it will go, because an idea cannot have a desire on its own that will cause it to stay. It is true that if you are not finished with this idea, it will return to you. But if you can let go once, you can let it go again. And in any moment that you are not holding to the idea, you can make the decision immediately to put aside the I thought. Go into your heart and join with me. Know yourself as your heart, and you know me. Another idea that crosses your mind when I ask you to extinguish you in order to know me is that extinguishing you means death. But when your mind is still and your attention is in your heart, are you dead? Are you dead or are you aware? Are you dead or are you aware of your heart, your love, and your desire? Are you dead or are you more aware of you than you were when you were thinking, and thinking the thinking was you? I say you are not dead when you are aware of your heart, your love, and your desire. You are dead when you are not aware of these things. Therefore, the you that exists through identification with thought is not the you that is life. And if it is not life, extinguishing it cannot be death. To the contrary, it is birth into life, because you have walked out of death into awareness of life again. I am your teacher, and as your teacher, I will guide you to know what you already know. Move from your head to your heart. And know that although you cannot define, what you have found, and you cannot describe it, and you cannot use it to identify and differentiate you from anything else, that voiceless voice and silent truth is your truth. And that is also the truth that I am. This is beautiful. And thank you for asking me to read.
Thank you very much, Lynn. Thanks for being willing. All right. I come to you having no idea what's going to be said here today, which I think is a good thing. I can tell you that I was I was delighted when I woke up and read the thought of awakening for today. So, because I think it goes directly to the heart of what we're looking at. So I'm going to read the thought of awakening, 320 to you. How do you define yourself? What are the limits you place on the idea of who you are? Do not take this question lightly as something to read and then move beyond. Stay with this question. Give willingness to see definitions you might not have seen, which are part of your identity. Look at who you think you are and ask, is this idea a limit? If the answer is yes, give willingness to release the limit, regardless of how precious the idea may be to you. Let me just rest here for a moment. You know, what made this such a, what Lynn read such a perfect reading for today's gathering. And, you know, as the week approaches, my week to share approaches, I start going, gosh, what am I going to talk about, right? What is my reading going to be? Good morning, Regina. It's nice to see you. But what made this such a perfect reading is these were exactly the thoughts that were going through my mind that seemed to come up, you know, independently of the lessons that that we've been reviewing in gentle healing. But it's not unusual. I mean, I don't think there's any coincidence that at this point in our lessons, that these ideas are coming up for me. You know, Regina's not the only one who ever had these thoughts, right? That inner wisdom saying, come on in, relax, you know, be in the fullness of who you are. And it's like, yeah, but what about this? And what about that? And what, I mean, I think these are universal thoughts that come up. And so I had looked at these thoughts, heard them back here very quietly. And then they were all here in one lesson in the teachings of Inner Ramana. So as I was looking about for, gee, what's my reading going to be? As you guys know, Ann and I often do these lessons together in the morning, and we were reading it together, and we're both like, oh my God, there's your reading. These thoughts that we have that are a denial of the truth, the thought that this will take a long time to do, the thought that this will be difficult, or the thought that this is the end of me, these thoughts about death, seem to be of a different order than the normal thoughts that we try and extinguish, right? The that we hear and say, no, netty, not me. You ain't me. But in fact, as Inner Ramana points out, these are thoughts just like any other. And these thoughts, once seen as thoughts, can be seen through just like any other. These are the limits that we place on ourselves. These are the final sentinels that stand in front of the gateless gate, right? These are the thoughts that pretend to be a gate, a barrier. These thoughts that say, to me, you know, all I can do is talk from my experience. And when I say they're universal, I assume that they are because I see them here and I see them here. So I assume many of you are having the same experience. But these thoughts speak of an I or a me or a Jacqueline who's trying to achieve something. You guys are hearing me okay, right? These thoughts seem to be a final barrier, if you will, again, of a different order from the perspective of the individual, right? You know, for me, they come in as number one, the truth isn't true. You're making all this up. When you sit down and write with inner wisdom, you're just like, you know, it's not inner wisdom. It's just pretty sounding words that you make up. Okay, and even if the truth is true, right, even inner wisdom, Holy Spirit, if you can convince me that the truth is true, it's just out of my reach. I just can't quite make it there. Maybe Regina can do it. Maybe Eckhart Tolle can do it. Muji, throw whoever you want in that list. But not me, not this individual. I can think about it and hope for it and wish for it and work towards it, but I don't have any real hope of, I don't know, achieving, gaining the truth. And then at the same time, there's this voice, these thoughts that would tell me, you're running out of time. You know, you're running out of time. You know, you're 57 years old. You've been doing this for 30 years. Haven't that 30 years shown you you can't do this? If you haven't done it in 30 years, you think you got another 30 years left? Well, good luck. Maybe you do. These are all doubt thoughts. These thoughts are like any other thought. So that when those thoughts come up, what Inner Ramana says, and that's exactly what Inner Ramana says, when these thoughts come up, I need to just see that they are thoughts the same caliber as any other thought that says, oh, you need to worry about this, or, you know, you need to run do that, or you need to pick up the phone and call her because if you don't, she'll be mad. They're all the same. They're not any different than these other thoughts. The only way that these thoughts are any different from other thoughts is how desperately I cling to them, how I give my allegiance to these thoughts, how I say, oh, this is me. This is the core of me. They're persistent. Inner Ramana says that's fine. That they're persistent because they can be let go in every moment. In every moment that you see them, they can be let go. You ain't me. You know, and we've heard, or I've heard for years, you know, this whole netty netty, not me, not me. I am not that. But again, what seems to ring true for me is that scene from Revolver where Ego is telling Jake in the elevator, oh, it's so tight in here. I'm ever so afraid. And he can hear it. And he says, you ain't me. And so that rings true for me. When I hear these, oh, you can't do this. You don't know what to say. Who do you think you are? You ain't me. And set that thought aside. And what I'm required to do is to give my willingness to see those thoughts. Because what I'm inclined to do, what my habit to do has been, is to deny those, to deny the denial thoughts, right? Which is to allow them to live. Just pretend, no, I didn't see that. But what's required of me is to look at those thoughts dead on and say, you ain't me. And return to the mantra, I am that I am. Move from the head to the heart. The funny thing about these particular thoughts for me is that they're subtle. You know, I mean, we like to point to Eckhart Tolle or Byron Katie and go, look, they had spontaneous awakenings. You know, I'm clearly not getting one of those. So this is going to be difficult. This is going to take time. Who clings to that thought? Who whispers that thought to me? This is going to be difficult. This is going to take time. And why am I listening? Oh, well, you know, maybe 5 years. Regina said it took her, you know, about five years to get where she was going. No. Story. That's all story. It's story like any other story. Netty, netty, you ain't me. Inner Ramana says, if you let go of the idea, it will go away. The idea has no life of its own. It says, and Ramana says, an idea cannot have a desire on its own that will cause it to stay. So as we've been told again and again and again by NTI, rejoice when you see that thought. I see you. You ain't me. in Ramana tells us, in any moment that you're not holding to the idea, you can make the decision immediately. Immediately. You ain't me. Let me be in my heart and know the truth of that. Know the truth of me. In any moment that you're not holding to the idea, you can make the decision immediately. Not tomorrow, not when I get, you know, everything straight, not when there's some noise outside that's bothering me, and when that's gone. In any moment, you can return immediately. You can make the decision immediately to put aside the I thought. Go into your heart and join with me. And then this final thought that Inner Ramana talks about, it's the thought that extinguishing you means death. And this one for me seemed a bit more subtle. I saw it coming up in a number of ways. You know, the anniversary. Of my sister's death and my father's death, my biological father's death, dad. and just really, just those really, seemingly subtle thoughts of you're running out of time. You think you're going to get this before you die? And you know, just the I don't know, things that seem to pique my interest in different movies and, you know, things I would see on the television or hear in songs, just as really, really subtle. I mean, it's like, I'm thinking of a dog whistle, but it's like just running below the surface, right? And it's just a constant thing there that says, you're going to die. You're going to run out of time. You're gonna keep smoking those cigarettes till you die of cancer. This subterranean thought seemed to need to be rooted out. I don't think that I would have been conscious of the impact of this thought without journaling with inner wisdom. Let me just share with you what inner wisdom said about this. The reason death is coming up to be looked at now is because it is necessary for you to strengthen your resolve to let go of ego, to invite the death of the thinking mind. If you are not certain that you wish to let go ego, thinking mind, you will never gather the resolve to do so. Yes, this contemplation will lead you to uncover those beliefs that keep you from moving forward to awakening unto the truth of your being. So what's really cool here is inner wisdom is doing exactly what A Course in Miracles says Holy Spirit does, which is to take what the ego makes, to take what the thinking mind makes, and uses it to help me awaken into myself. This contemplation will lead me to uncover beliefs that keep me from moving forward to awakening. Inner wisdom says, what would you do if you knew you only had 6 months to live? How would you spend your time? What is important to you from that perspective? And again, this is going to the question of, is the truth true? Even if it's true, is it something that I really want to do? Is it something that I can even achieve? And looking at this, what seems to be, just saw what Hal said, the cigarette smoking you, yeah. And looking at this ultimate question, you know, what about Jacqueline? Where is she going to go? If I'm awakening from Jacqueline, what the heck does that mean? What does that mean? Inner wisdom asked me, what would you do if you knew you only had 6 months to live? How would you spend your time? What is important to you from that perspective? Doesn't this give you clarity on the truth of your relationship to me? In other words, doesn't this tell you which of your beliefs can be trusted? Doesn't this give you perspective on whether the truth is true? Doesn't this cause you to question the value of the thinking mind's dictates? I mean, this rallies the troops. What is my true desire? For me, the question of what would I do if I only had 6 months to live really invigorates, you know, it bypasses all that stuff that goes, oh, well, you know, we don't really want to sit down and meditate and we don't want to, you know, I'm working too hard and I'll never get it. Right? I don't have time for that. You ain't me. What's me is a true desire that I find right here. And by looking at life on earth, life is short. None of us know how much time we have. Gosh, from that perspective, what do I want to do? This is what I want to do. This is, it reaffirms my knowledge that the truth is true. I got 6 months. Am I going to be doing something that's not true? No, I know the truth. I'm going to be right here. I'm going to be right here with inner wisdom. I'm going to be right here in my heart. I'm going to be right here in service. I'm gonna read you some more from Inner Wisdom because I think because this is exactly where I came to and I want you to hear it. maybe I want me to hear it. It comes into your mind to ask me about the honor of peering through the portal of Jacqueline that was referenced a few days ago. The word honor was chosen as a reverence of the potential we call life. The word honor suggests the duty to be a good shepherd of experience, to keep experience from being diluted or diluted by the exercise of limiting beliefs about your ability to access all that is, as it is. Remember, as you look out on the seeming world, what an honor it is to play within the arena of all beingness. What a lovely opportunity to experience beingness. What are you doing with this gift? And it's funny, you know, because over the years, I just love the way that question sounds. What are you doing with this gift? Over the years, I've heard that, gosh, is it an American Express commercial that says, what's in your wallet? Yeah. What a precious gift. What a precious gift. And this denial of the denial of truth that we do, the one that says, well, wait a minute, I'm not sure I want to be extinguished. You know, these subtle thoughts of time is running out. You know, death is approaching. You're never going to get this anyway. Why do you even try? Is such a contrast to the truth of it. Again, Inner Ramana says, another idea that crosses your mind when I ask you to extinguish you in order to know me is that extinguishing you means death. But when your mind is still and your attention is in your heart, are you dead? Are you dead? Are you more aware of you than when you were thinking and thinking the thinking was you? I say you are not dead when you are aware of your heart, your love, and your desire. You are dead when you are not aware of these things. Therefore, the you that exists through identification with thought is not the you that is life. The you that the me that is identified with those thoughts, life is short, I'm not going to get this, I can't get this. Those are the blocks to the awareness of the honor of the gift that I have been given. So when I truly look at this life, this limited duration, Jacqueline started here and she's going to end somewhere in here. When I truly look at the honor of being on this earth, when I look at the honor of exploring experience and everything that is, that's when I'm in my heart. That's when I'm feeling the presence of being. So, you know, what I've been inclined to do for years is like, oh, I don't even want to think about that. I want to think about, ooh, I'm going to end someday. Death is going to. You ain't me. Get in here and live this life. And it's looking at this squarely that allows me to see my true desire, that allows me to see the honor of being, that allows me to feel the joy of being. But I can't be afraid of the thought. I can't be threatened. By the thought that I could be extinguished. Let me read you this again from Inner Wisdom that makes this point so well. The limited duration of ego is not the limited duration of you. It is only the ego that sees this as a case of time is running out. The honor of life lived through you is not a threat. Only ego sees threat in this. Wholeness sees joy and wonder and awe. Rest in the joy, in the wonder, and the awe. All is well. You don't need to be concerned that you can't get it right. Remember, this world is your opportunity to experience the fullness of self. Remember this when you are tempted to believe in the limits the thinking mind would impose. The limits of time, the limits of past, the limits of the person. This joy will point your way. So I'm going to, say again that, when you encounter these limits, when you go, oh, I see you, thought, rejoice. Inner wisdom said to me, well, first I asked the question, it feels like the true and proper practice of your teachings is just out of reach, and that it is something that I am unable to do. Let me read the question again. I said to Inner Wisdom, it feels like the true and proper practice of your teachings is just out of reach, and that it is something that I am unable to do. These are the same questions that Inner Ramana talks about. It's going to take a long time. It's going to be difficult. And I'm not sure I want to get rid of me anyway. Inner Wisdom said, look at the fear in your mind around this question. What are you doing that leaves that question unanswered? Are you still believing in reward for your efforting? You must leave that belief behind. Do you still believe that self-realization is only for a few? Do you still believe that you are just not good enough, smart enough, or talented enough to gain your heart's desire? These are merely ego defenses to keep you from looking. Look for these thoughts and ask who is whispering them to you. So that's what I want to encourage all of us to do. Look for the thoughts. Who's whispering those thoughts? Isn't it this thing that we've, this idea that we've created that doesn't exist? That these thoughts, every one of these thoughts, can be let go in an instant. You ain't me. I am that I am. So at this point, excuse me, we are, we'll have a song. Lynn's going to play us a song so we can contemplate what's been said. Don will post the donate link so we can do that if we so feel. And we appreciate your donations. But I'm going to let go of the mic so Lynn can play us that song for contemplation.
When we send out love, it keeps on rising. So I choose to close my eyelids to send positive vibes and to every living being, from the ocean to the skies. And as I look at all the crisis, I realize that I just can send my love and prayers and forgive all of my rivals. To me, this is all priceless, to transform all the violence through sacrifice and trying, sitting on this cushion silent. May all beings be happy, peaceful and nonviolent. May not one being suffer in the mind, even the tyrants. May all souls find alignment with their hands, their hearts and minds. And may all of us keep walking from ignorance to be wiser like.
Ooh, I'm sending prayers out to you. Thank you.
Thank you, Lynn. That was lovely. pardon me. So it is your opportunity now to share. And so I will see if I can. Yeah, there you all are. So please raise your hand. If you can't figure out how to raise your hand, then just take the mic. Regina, take the mic.
All right. Hey, Jacqueline. Your talk this morning was a little bit like deja vu for me, because last night, just before I went to bed, I was listening to a new talk that Michael Langford just posted yesterday, and it was on exactly this. It was on exactly, he says in his passionate way, don't listen to that thought that you can't do this. Right? You know, so that's what I was listening to just before I went to bed last night. So, and in fact, I actually haven't finished listening to it, you know, because at some point I needed to stop, and I will finish listening to it later. But I just thought I'd mention, since it reemphasizes everything that you said, I thought I would mention it. If anybody wants to go and listen to this talk, it was only posted like 12 hours ago. In fact, I must have been one of the first ones to listen to it, since I was listening to it last night. The name of the talk is You Can Eternally Realize the Supreme Body of Your Glorious Self. You can eternally realize the Supreme Body of Your Glorious Self. And, you know, there's the link. I just put the link on that board. It's the exact same teaching as the extinguishment of the I thought, as you're sharing this morning. You know, don't listen to that, right? Don't. Sometimes it's good for someone to shout at us and say, don't listen to that, you know. Because, you know, even though it doesn't feel fun necessarily to be shouted out, even when you're listening to a teaching on an audio, the truth is it sticks in your head, right? It makes an impression. And so anyway, thank you for sharing. And I just thought I would share that apparently is a message that we are to listen to right now, because it's coming at us from all angles. Letting go of the mic.
Thank you, Regina. Yeah, I look forward to listening to Michael Langford's message. Yeah, it's so funny how we think we're something other than that. We listen to that. Yeah. So who else would like to share? we'd love to hear your experience. Yeah, and the same thing. And I see Ruby's got her hand up. Kathy has her hand up. And I just remembered Cheryl said she would like to speak. So, Ruby, take the mic.
Oh, okay. Oh, so I'm open now? Yeah. Okay. Okay. So everybody can hear me, right? Okay. Okay. Let's see. Oh, that was just lovely, Jacqueline. And you know, the other thing, I'm going to start from the end. What you were saying is to ask, you know, watch your thoughts. Of course, it says that, watch your thoughts, keep, you know, looking your thoughts. But once you make a commitment, your thoughts will start coming to you, and you can't help but watch them. I mean, so that's the thing. But the other thing, oh God, I had read, I've gotten this message when I was in Italy, and I read it to everybody, I'm going to read a part of it now again. Well, no, I don't think I need to do it. Let me just say no. So this was Sunday, 12/9, and I think it was exposing the attachment to the mind. So I asked myself, oh, and Jacqueline, a lot of your stuff was just right on for me as I was contemplating and asking questions, or the thoughts came up, especially about honoring life. And it was like my job. It was saying your job. I was trying to find that message. It said your job is an honor. It's a gift. And that's what it said. You should honor your job. It's a gift. And it said something else, but I couldn't find it. But the one thing that it did, I don't think it said the being. So thank you for the being in that message. But this is what on 12/9. I don't want to share this, but I'm going to share it anyway. Is there a belief that if I follow Regina closely, I will be awakened because of following her closely? Yes. Yes. That is a belief. And then I always ask, because there is doubt. So I've been going through all this doubt recently. And I always ask, well, is that you, Holy Spirit? It said, yes, it's me. Okay. Okay, and I said, what shall I believe? It said, believe in me. Follow me. Ask me what to do, what to study, what to contemplate, how to be. But it is telling me to follow Regina closely. But it's also telling me to ask me, because I am the, I'll say the big dog, for lack of a better word. So anyway, and then it said, then I asked something else. This is so embarrassing. But anyway, what shall I believe? Believe in me, follow me. Ask me what to do, what to study, what to contemplate, how to be, how to see. And I said, well, it told me to circle I want to see Sunday morning. And it said, why? For entertainment. Do you want to be entertained, or do you want to be with me? I love you. Regardless, I want to be with you. And then it said, a healed mind is not listening, not believing the mind's chattered. Now I'm thinking, I wrote this 1, 2, 3. I don't know if this was something from Regina or was it continued my guidance. But it said, a healed mind is not listening to believing the mind's chattered. Number two, be still and know that you are love, God. A healed mind is still knowing it is God, love. And then I said, how shall I practice? What is the word that you are referring to? Oh, it said, what is the word that you're referring to in me and NTI? That's something else. I'm going to another subject, but that's what I wanted to share with you guys. And thank you so much for your message, Jacqueline. And I'm still supposed to follow Regina closely to the end, but I have to listen to my big dog. I'm letting go of the mic. How do I do that? I just blocked.
And Kathy, please take the mic.
So can I be heard? Yes? One of the things that struck me today, Jacqueline, about your observance of the thoughts that say, I'll never, ever be able to achieve what somebody else has, or seemingly what I'm supposed to, or Regina just not too long ago, might have been last week, talked to us and said, and I correct me if I'm wrong on this, but that body, personality, mind aspect that we place so much faith in will never, ever, 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 ever be that one that wakes up. And I think that's such an important point, because that identification with that body, mind, personality, especially the thoughts, and you pointed, you know, to the thoughts, and it's such a common thing to think that thoughts are somehow located up here someplace, maybe in this region that we identify as at least where the brain might be, but that's not really the thoughts. And then to look at this idea of being a mind, and one of the things from, I guess, the tip, I don't really know, I can't remember where it comes from, but this idea that purification of the mind isn't ultimately necessary, because I'm not that mind. I never was that mind. The mind is the invention. And while this purification is in fact a stepping stone to the direct experience of not being that mind, not being that personality, not being that voice that I seem to be listening to, not being any of that. I mean, there were so many things that were shared this week that felt freeing. Even that idea that, you know, Regina just said she listened to Michael Langford and his exuberance over, don't listen to that voice. And at the same time, he also, in his books, one of my initial like smackdowns, if you want to call it that, came from Michael Langford and Elie Rooster, kind of a combination from several years ago, actually, when we were first introduced to Elie and Michael, and I was listening to their sharings, and they, at least in my, from my perspective, had a point of view that was straightforward and direct, and at that time felt heavy, like just like you shared this morning, Jacqueline, that sense of I'm not going to be one of those people. I mean, it's it's obvious. I mean, I should be buying lottery tickets, because that seems to be the analogy. Buy a lottery ticket and see if you can win that little prize, because you have a better chance of doing that than, you know, awakening to the truth of who you are. And I've come to realize, you know, it's just not true. It's just, those are just concepts, more concepts that bring up fear in me and doubt in me. And so it's like, not I. It's not I. It's not my thought. It's not even a real thought. It's not even a thought that has anything to do with the truth of who I am. And so your sharing of your own internal experience of that same collective doubt that is passing through as simply a wisp of nothingness, that I turn my consciousness or attention towards that as it's seemingly happening in this illusory mind, this place that where I can't seem to locate any of what I'm placing my attention on. It's like, I don't know. At any rate, I'm going to let the mic go. That's all I'm going to share right now. And thanks for letting me speak.
Wow, Kathy, thanks for sharing. Yeah, perfect. Absolutely perfect. So, yeah, thank you for sharing your wisdom. So at this point, we are into our fellowship time. So I'm going to, Cheryl still is going to share, but I'm going to turn the mic over to Lynn to play our closing song for the gathering, and folks who need to go somewhere else can do that. And but we hope you'll stick around and listen to the further sharing in the fellowship hour. So letting go of the mic.
Would God say through you when your words do not matter? What would love clearly do when your mind forgets the chatter of words that you say but don't really mean? The price you pay when love remains unseen. What would God say through you if you opened up your heart? What would God say through you if you opened of your heart? What would love say through you if your mind began to slow down and your heart began to open? Would the rest of you soon come around to see that nothing really matters now but openness, your highest vow? What would love say through you? Open up your heart. What would love say through you if you opened up your heart? What would life say to you if you finally began to listen to more than words but what's behind them all? Would you comprehend what you were missing all those empty years you thought you were alone? But all the while, you were right at home. What would life say to you if you opened up your heart? What would life say to you if you opened up? What would life
say to you if you opened up